So, how is my favorite wife?
Kushnuma Yesova Torisi Roshini.
How much do you know about the situation?
Nothing.
A truck hit his car and his head was smashed.
Khana, Sona, Mahana, ye nahi rukne chahiye. Ye ruk gaye to sab kuch ruk jayega, samjho.
Har mahine is tarah se lakhon rupaye bahar. And this rate will go bankrupt. Is that what she would have wanted?
आप अपनी बीवी के साथ डिस्कस करते हैं ये हर्षा कि डार्लिंग अगर तुम कोमा में चली गई तो कितने दिन लाइफ सपोर्ट पे रहना चाहोगी?
You know how many followers I have on Twitter? 5,800. And how many of them are here right now? Zero.
What is Twitter?
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Bollywood Weekly. I'm here today with Akash.
Hey, Pish.
And today's episode is a bit different in the sense that we're covering a different type of movie. We actually just saw the movie Waiting, which is starring Nasruddin Shah and Kalki Kochhar. It's actually an English language film. I think apart from a couple of random phrases in Hindi and Malayalam, which was nice, which I'll get to. all of it was in English. And this is a kind of an indie movie. It released as part of the Dubai Film Festival late last year, and then it's been releasing in theaters over staggered phases in the last year or so. I think in India the release was late May, but it has only come to theaters here now, and so we decided to go watch it, and overall thought it was pretty good, right?
Yeah, I thought it was a super interesting movie. I think the subject matter was fairly plain, but they touched on a lot of themes at the same time.
Yeah.
They looked at how the take on life and relationships has changed from generation to generation, and they showed that really well. I think they also looked at the theme of how your own beliefs and principles change the second your loved ones are in trouble. Like,
yeah,
principles and beliefs that you've held on for such a long time and how they can completely change. Mm-hmm. The second something goes south with people you actually care about. It also looked at the theme of isolation and how people cope with that emotion in different parts of their life and where they seek solace.
Yeah.
So I thought all of that was really interesting, and the director has milked it really well by just using a simple theme of two strangers bumping into each other because their husband and wife respectively are in the hospital, and just the time they spend and the relationship they develop and the stuff that comes out of it. So I just thought that was it was a fantastic take just in general on the human condition as well, which was pretty interesting.
Yeah, completely agree. So just for context, since a lot of listeners may not have necessarily heard much about this movie or seen a lot about it, the story revolves around Nasruddin Shah and Kalki Kochhar, who, as Akash said, their characters' respective spouses are in a hospital in Cochin. And they're both at very different stages in life. So Nasruddin Shah is, of course, this older man who's been married for 40 years, and his wife has been in a coma for 8 months. And whereas Kalki is newlywed, been only married for 6 weeks, and her husband had come to Cochin for work, and he got into a car accident and was immediately rushed to the ICU, and then Kalki flies to Cochin. And I thought it was just really nice the way they showed how the way the two of them deal with things so differently.
Yeah.
You know, Nasruddin Shah has like kind of been there, done that, been through the whole thing, and he comes across at the start as like this very zen father-like figure who is just understands what she's going through, gives her like real solid advice.
Yeah.
Whereas Kalki is just completely panicking and like fluctuating from being completely angry and pissed off at the world to just being in her shell and just has no idea what to do. So I thought they showed that contrast really well. And yeah, it was a very real and honest movie. Like the dialogues, the way it was shown, and all the supporting characters as well. Like everyone just, you know, reacted exactly in ways that you would expect people to react in real life. Including being completely confused and clueless as to what to do in certain situations.
Right.
Like, for example, I think one of my favorite characters, supporting characters, was the friend that, or the colleague from the Kerala office of her husband's company, who they sent to kind of look after her and take care of her. And he's just like so like innocent, and he's like trying to just be there and be nice, but he has like zero idea of what to say or do.
Yeah.
So I thought that was like done really well.
Yeah, I think Kalki's friend's character was also really good.
Ish.
As in her name was Ish. I thought she was good.
No. Sorry. To clarify that, yeah. I think she acted really well. The character itself was frustrating at times. But
no, I think she did a good job in the sense that the directors used the supporting characters really well to also bring out the comic relief in the movie.
Yeah.
Which keeps things interesting and light as you kind of go through the journey with Nasiruddin Shah and Kalki. What I liked is that even though they knew that this movie would have a niche audience and it probably wouldn't, or just that a smaller number of people would have an appreciation for a movie like this, but they didn't try to be too pretentious about the way they made the movie,
in terms of
how they touched upon it. The relationships were very, very real and relatable.
Yeah.
So I really feel like it's a movie for everyone, instead of just a smaller audience, which I think it probably was targeted for.
Yeah, no, most definitely. And I mean, I think the smaller audience is just a result of, you know, a lot of people don't necessarily want to watch movies like this and don't appreciate content like this.
Hmm.
But I mean, also just partly because it's such a serious subject matter. Like, a lot of people go for movies like as a means of escapism.
Yes.
So even, you know, a more mainstream movie like Kurta Punjab,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people will just not go for that movie because it's too heavy and they don't want to deal with that in some ways. So this is like definitely, it's a very real movie, very honest movie.
Well, more than the subject matter, I mean, I think people who are also fans of Nasiruddin and Kalki would go for this movie. At least that was the decision point for me. I think Kalki is an amazing actor.
Yeah.
I followed her career and she's done really well in every movie that I've seen. So even though she's largely played supporting roles in mainstream movies, I was down to watch this movie because she was in it. And Nasiruddin Shah, I've seen him as a part of the Mumbai theatre scene. So I've seen him live on stage as well. And he's just, I mean, we all know that he's a really powerful performer.
Yeah.
So I think that would really be the pull for this movie.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. Apart from that, I also thought, so it was a very kind of tight and well-written script.
Yes.
So the whole movie was only, I think, an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
But it never felt, you know, so for example, like when I think of a movie like Aligarh, right, which is a similar, not very different topic, but similar tone in terms of it's more of a niche audience, is more dealing with real people and real emotions. That movie I even struggled with because it just felt very slow and very, it was like trying a bit too hard to play up to its sensibilities and to what it was trying to do.
Yeah.
Whereas here, it just felt very kind of natural and very, and I think the script was the main part of that, the dialogues, everything.
Yeah.
Just felt very well done. I also, to go back to the point about the friend, the Kalki's friend, what I liked about her was, and one of the scenes I found really powerful was, she's this kind of, you know, really stereotypical, like, South Bombay
brat,
as in, and, you know, she's like, oh, well, like, when she hears about the accident, she's like in the middle of hosting like a dinner party at her house, and like her husband is serving her appetizers,
and she's talking about taking Kalki to the spa when she's waiting in the hospital.
Yeah, exactly. And she's like, just stay calm, like, you use positive energy. And I think her first reaction when she hears this is just like, oh, like, you know, you need to start chanting right away. Like, it helped me so much, like, while I was pregnant. And Kalki is sitting there just like, why? Like, what is happening? And then there are times where she gets really frustrated as to, you know, why are all these people just saying all this nonsense when they don't know how I feel?
Yeah.
And then it actually played out when the friend came to Cochin to visit her and to support her. And even when she came, she was very, like, bubbly, like, gung-ho, like, you know, it's fine. Like, we'll work through this together. I'm here for you. And then when she actually goes and she sees Rajat, right? That was his name?
Yeah.
The husband's name. When she actually goes and sees Rajat lying in the bed and she sees, like, Kalki talking to him with bandages all over.
That's when it becomes real and really,
like, that's when she, like, she has, like, no idea what to do, and she's, like, taken aback. And then she's, as she starts kind of talking to him, it suddenly just, like, all hits her and she completely breaks down.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really kind of powerful and well done. And it's, again, the point about you don't sometimes realize or know how to deal with situations until they happen to you.
Exactly. And then her whole idea about preaching and using a lot of positive energy probably yeah. seemed a little far-fetched to her, and that came across in that yeah. scene. And that brings me to my to what I said earlier as to how your own beliefs and principles often change
yeah.
when people you're actually invested in are in a are in a tough position like that.
Yeah.
I mean, the first 20 minutes of the movie, you have this great kind of dialogue exchange between Nasiruddin and Kalki, when Nasiruddin is explaining to her
the five stages of grief, yeah.
right? And he starts with how denial was the first one, which is what he thought Kalki was, and that this can't happen, and it should never, it, why me, etc., etc.
Yeah.
But then you kind of see that turning around when he has that conversation about whether, about how he wants his wife to get an operation.
Yeah.
And how he's actually really scared at all times to confront the doctor, because he was in denial himself
exactly.
of hearing the truth from the doctor
yeah.
or taking on this doctor's opinion, because he had formed his own idea and he had read a lot of random disparate cases about how things like this had worked, and he had convinced himself that it was going to be okay, and the fact that it wasn't was, and that's when we realized that even though he looked really
yeah.
sad, he was really in the first stage of grief himself potentially.
Yes, despite having been there for
yeah.
9 months.
Yeah. yeah, exactly. And then Kalki, on the other hand, you see her kind of evolving, where she starts chanting a little bit and believing in God.
Yeah, going to temples.
Here and there. Yeah, just resorting to those measures. So I feel like it's just really interesting contrast. And that's so true for everybody,
yeah.
Just in the way we live our lives as well. We hold ourselves down and pin ourselves down to several principles. And, you know, it's almost like we're trying to prove a point to ourselves, when actually it's all fluid and it
mm.
changes with the sequence of events in your life. So I thought that was really interesting as well. And it was brought out in a very kind of real and relatable way, in a very simple way.
Yeah.
Instead of making it super highbrow or pretentious or anything like that,
yeah.
which I thought was pretty appreciable.
Mm-hmm. I think we already touched on it, but worth I think calling out, the acting from both the lead characters was just phenomenal. I think
completely 100% great performances, and this is really the only thing that would carry this movie. Otherwise, it would be quite mundane. So
yeah.
The performances had to be on point, and I think that also is
mm-hmm.
a huge reason why I really like the movie.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Nasiruddin Shah is, of course, I think he's proved it time and time again.
Yeah,
I was actually very positively surprised by Kalki.
Yeah,
so I know you really like her.
Yeah,
I also like her, but I didn't think before this movie that she was outstanding,
yeah.
quote unquote. And I know there are a couple of movies she's done recently which I haven't yet seen
yeah.
that have got a lot of acclaim, like Margarita with a Straw, etc.
Right. Yeah.
So with that caveat in mind, I thought she was just, like, she just captured every kind of nuance and every element of her character just perfectly.
Hmm.
And it just came across really well.
Yeah, I think she's, just through the movie she's picked, I think she's figured out what she's really good at and what she can nail. She's
yeah.
pretty bold about the choices that she's made.
Yeah.
She could have very well gone the commercial actress route, but
mm-hmm.
she didn't. I mean, she still could, but she's also doing movies like this
yeah.
constantly, because she knows that she's created an audience within that realm of
yeah.
hers. And people who like her really like her. I mean, I know a few other people as well who are
mm-hmm.
big Kalki fans, and she's not the most popular actress out there that you'd be a fan of, but it's just her performance that's really won everybody's mindshare. So I really like her.
Yeah, for sure. I hope she gets more opportunities now to keep doing stuff in
mm-hmm.
bigger movies to reach a wider audience.
Yeah.
I also really liked the scenes, the flashback scenes, like
yeah.
of when she's with her husband just before he actually leaves to
mm-hmm.
Cochin, and the way they, you know, it's like a, and they show it two or three times, but it's literally, it's a 1 minute sequence.
Yeah.
But it somehow manages to just convey so much about their relationship and what stage they are in life and their characters and
yeah.
their personalities. I thought that was done really well.
And it's a very stark contrast, because that scene cuts into them just kind of being in this limbo of their
yeah,
own.
Exactly.
Just waiting
yeah.
and trying to reminisce and make themselves feel better, but
mm-hmm.
it not really working out for them.
Yeah.
Another thing that I thought was pretty modern that they touched on, which was really well done, was also a little bit around the commercialization of healthcare
mm-hmm.
and how generally there's a lack of trust in between all of these insurance schemes and general speculation about why doctors are making this type of decision,
yeah.
you know, whether the money is going to work out or not, whether patients are being able to pay for it.
Yeah.
And just the conflict that creates in people's minds as to, you know, am I really getting the right attention, or
yeah.
is this the best decision for me, or should I just kind of take a more irrational, emotional approach where I just believe in what I believe in and go for
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty interesting as well and pretty well captured. And I think it resonates with people who are in that stage of life.
Yeah, it was definitely. And I think, so one other actor we didn't touch on yet is Rajat Kapoor, who plays the doctor of both patients. And I think his character and the way he portrayed it was, on this issue exactly, is done really well because it provides a very balanced view.
Yes.
So normally, when if you look at the more mainstream movies, typically the doctor is just like a completely evil person who doesn't care and just wants to make as much money and milk as much money for possible, as possible from his patients. Whereas here, they show him when he's going around the rounds teaching his, the junior doctors of how to like give bad news to people and how to deal with certain situations. There's like, he's like very corporate and very polished. Mm. He's like, you have to look at the person this way, put your eyes down like this, have your forehead like this, your eyebrows, etc. And it's like all very rehearsed. And then you have to say things in a certain tone. So you make them feel serious, but also hopeful. And,
he has managed to put a method of conveying bad news.
And so,
he's done it over and over
and
again.
That feels very like, oh, he's just another, he's just a corporate, like a doctor who just wants to, who just treats people as patients and not as people. But then it contrasts very nicely with when Kalki at one point decides that she doesn't want to do the operation. And he is just like, I'm the doctor. I know what my job is. My job is to help your husband. You have to trust me and you have to know what I'm doing is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I thought that kind of balance is something that it typically doesn't really get captured in movies that well. Because I don't think every doctor out there is really just trying to fleece people and make as much insurance money.
No, 100%, right? And what I loved about his character was the ambiguity around it.
Mm.
You don't know if he's a good guy or a bad guy, and you don't know if you want to root for him or not.
Yeah.
Right? Because you just see him react differently to different types of patients, and then you don't really know where he truly stands when all he's probably trying to do is his job to the best of his ability.
And even when, the impression I got was that even when he's doing all these things like, manufacturing reactions to things and saying things in a rehearsed way, I don't think he's doing it because he doesn't care. I think it's the way it came across, like, he just has accepted that this is a part of his job and is completely convinced he's doing the right thing and the best thing.
Mm.
And it, obviously if you look at it in isolation, it seems very insensitive and very, not...
No, but
real.
Exactly. But they kept it ambiguous, right? Because on the one hand, you want to... So there was this whole scene, right, about your rights and that you get to decide what happens to your spouse.
Yeah.
Because that should technically be your right. If you want your spouse to have an operation and live a life that may not be the best quality thereafter and, be impaired for the rest of her life, or you want to, go in for the euthanasia option and kind of put an end to it instead of letting them live a long, suffering life. And the debate around that also was amazing between Kalki and Rajat Kapoor, wherein his decision, which was grounded in years of experience, trumps kind of
the emotional
just the emotional fact that, okay, I have the right to decide what happens to my husband. And I think that's a very thin line, and it's often blurred between our selfish interests versus what's actually best. And there's a lot of perspectives around it, and you can make equal arguments for both. And that was really well captured in the movie as well. It's just the internal conflict that both these characters are going through, and how both sides of the coin make an equal amount of sense, and you just really don't know what to do.
Yeah, completely agree. And apart from the confrontation with Rajat Kapoor and Kalki, the scene just before the interval, right, with Kalki and Nasiruddin, where they both kind of reach this crossroads where Nasiruddin Shah's wife is, Rajat Kapoor tells him that we're not going to do an operation, and he really wants to do an operation, and then Kalki is told the opposite, where we have to do this operation, but we might have to, it might cause damage to his brain and he might, lose certain, functions in terms of nervous system on the right side, I think.
Yeah.
Higher languages, things like that. And she's like unsure. And Nasiruddin is just like, explodes at her and is like, who are you, like, why are you trying to kill your husband? Like, why are you taking away his right to live? Because he's so caught up in his own situation where he wants the operation.
And he's just projecting.
Exactly. I thought that was really powerful and well done as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Cool. Anything else about this movie?
No, I just think it was really well put together. Like you said, it was a super tight script and the performances were great and that it touched upon several themes. And I just found that really interesting. And I think I love these kinds of movies where it doesn't really have a particular end.
It's just about people living
their
lives.
Yeah, right? And it's just about, you know, you catch these two characters in a certain phase of their life and what they're going through just in that period. And you can take away whatever you want from that movie.
Yeah.
You know, it could be a movie about the relationship between these two characters. It could be a movie about different generations. It could be a movie about healthcare. It could be about anything, really.
Mm-hmm.
And just the message that rings with you the strongest is what the audience would take back. And I thought that was fascinating.
Yep. So verdict, everyone, is definitely go watch this movie if you can. And yeah, I hope they keep making more movies like this.
Yeah. And I when you see the trailer, you might think that, okay, this is not a movie that I might want to watch or that I might be able to appreciate.
Yeah.
But I really do think it's super relatable and there's a good amount of comic relief to it as well. So it's a fairly easy movie to sit through, even though the subject matter is pretty grave.
Yeah. And it's short, so it's like over before you know.
Yeah.
Cool. Then switching gears slightly, a couple of trailers to talk about. So the first one was Akira by Sonakshi, not by Sonakshi Sinha, she's in it. by A.R. Murugadas, who's the director and producer and writer, I think.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I thought it was, it looks like she's probably put on a great performance. I mean, she's pretty well known for her metal.
Yeah.
And I think she's probably going to be really good. I think it's a... In some ways, I'm sure when they... I haven't seen any of the marketing around it, but they're probably going to make it into a woman-centric type of, you know, strong woman.
So there's already been a bit of that. So there were some issues in production in terms of actually just finishing the movie and getting it made.
Yep.
In terms of budget, co-producers, etc. But they finally were able to pull through. And what is interesting is, so this was, of course, a remake of a South movie, as all...
Of course.
As, because it's A.R. Murugadas. I mean, he is a South Indian movie director.
Right, okay.
He remade Gajini. He made Holiday as well.
Yeah.
But the original actually has a guy in the lead role.
Oh, right.
It's a male lead. Mm-hmm. And so when they made the movie to Hindi, they made the conscious... decision to recast it with a female lead playing the same character.
Yeah.
And Sonakshi is the person who's doing that. So that is already, you know, there's a women-centric element there, which is, I'm sure they will continue to explore a lot further.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing that people are very excited, or, I mean, when I say people, I mean Twitter buzz, that Twitter was very excited about was just Sonakshi... basically kicking ass, right? Just beating the hell out of tons of people, as opposed to, you know, the normal movies where she's kind of this bubbly but still very much damsel in distress type character. So that is different as well.
Yeah, I mean, the trailer looked pretty interesting. I'd go and watch it. But I don't have anything else to say.
So you know, she's also doing another movie called Noor, which is like about to start filming or has just started filming now. And Kanan Gill is in that movie and is playing her best friend, apparently.
Okay.
So that is interesting. Now we know why there are no more pretentious movie reviews coming out.
Has Kanan Gill been on the podcast? No, not yet.
No,
because you've been doing a lot of...
Thank you, Akash. I appreciate the bringing in, you know, adding a layer of credibility to this podcast.
No, definitely.
Just casually asking as if it was the most normal thing in the world.
But, well, you've had a lot of comedians and a lot of famous people on your podcast, so he better come now, otherwise it's going to be his loss.
It's a good point. I should reach out to him. I should reach out to him now before he gets too big.
Yeah.
He has not yet managed, no.
All right.
He hasn't been able to find time.
He's going to have to get in line.
Thank you for that again. So there was that. And then the other trailer we watched was for a movie called Budhiya Singh.
Yep.
We're starring Manoj Bajpayee. And this is another in a long line of movies being made about true stories.
Yep.
Which at least I, and I don't think most people at least have not really heard about.
Mm.
And I was surprised at this one because this was pretty recent. It was in 2006 or 7 when this was very prominently in the news. Mm. Although, to be fair, I was not living in India at the time, so maybe I was out of touch. But so Budhiya Singh is a biopic about this young child who, at the age of 5, ran a 65 or 70 kilometer marathon in Orissa and made the Limca Book of World Records. and about his coach, basically, who's Manoj Bajpayee, plays the coach.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a super, super interesting trailer. I would always put my money on Manoj Bajpayee and his performance in general. I really like him. I think the movie is going to have its fair share of drama and sensationalism associated with it. I think it's going to do a fairly decent job at capturing how messed up the media can be and how it can be your best friend or your worst enemy. Just the rumors around successful athletes and just the whole thing that we hear about them resorting to illegal drugs or supplements, etc., etc.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to touch upon those issues really well.
And I mean,
it seems like a really interesting story. But yeah, so all in all, I think it has a lot of, I think it has a lot going for it, and I'm sure the trailer is going to elicit a fairly positive reaction from the audience.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing that's also, I then read up the actual story of this kid after watching the trailer, and there was a lot of controversy around his coach. So obviously after he did this, you know, he got a lot of attention from the media, and like the Orissa government felicitated him and stuff, and he started doing endorsements and products and stuff. And there was a lot of controversy surrounding his coach, which is Manoj Bajpayee's character, regarding both, you know, whether he's exploiting him for his own personal benefit, because I think a lot of the sponsorships and stuff, he got a big chunk of cash from them.
Right.
And also there was question marks, as you touched upon, raised upon how he actually trained this kid. You know, was he, you know, using, physically abusing him or things like that? So, yeah, super interesting. I'm very curious to see the movie. I'm very curious to see the movie just to learn more about the story, actually. The movie itself, I think, could go either way. It could be really good or it could be kind of...
Yeah, and the performances look pretty good from the trailer, as I can glean. So,
any other things you're in that you've seen in Bollywood recently that you're excited about? Or
I'm just wondering what in Bollywood, what according to you, this is a question, in Bollywood can classify as an indie movie, and what's a commercial movie? Because it was in my mind that Waiting would be an indie movie when I went for it.
Yeah.
But after watching it, I really didn't think of it as a very niche type of movie. So how do you classify that, and how does an audience make a decision to go for it or not? Is it around the marketing? Is it around the budget? Is it around star power? Because I just feel like the second you call a movie an indie movie, or the second you label it as something like that, it restricts the audience immediately, and people are like, ah, it's an indie movie. I don't want to go and watch it. I'm not interested.
So, I mean, I don't think the movies themselves would necessarily, you know, go out and label themselves that, oh, I am an indie movie.
Yeah.
But it's more about, and yeah, the word indie is supposed to mean independent.
Yes.
Which is a bit of a, not all quote-unquote indie movies are now independent, because they're usually backed by some sort of studio or someone else, at least for distribution.
Hmm.
So the purest definition is, an indie movie would be someone, it would be a movie that's not backed by a studio like a UTV or a Phantom or a Yash Raj or something like that. In this case, I mean, you had Drishyam Films, which is known for, it's a production house that's known for making more realistic cinema. And so then the other part of, you know, the definition of indie movies is the type of content, right? Because typically the reason indie movies are made independently is because they offer the type of content and that big studios would not make, because they don't see the economic value in it. And either because it's a niche market or because it is just, you know, not the kind of, not something that a mainstream audience would appreciate or enjoy. And so I think that, I mean, when I classify it in for myself, that's the logic I use, what type of content it is, what type of... And I mean, the star power also has a point to play with that. So like, if this movie was made with, and this is the fine line, right? Like, if you think about Piku,
that's exactly what I was about to say, right? And so that's why, because in nobody's mind was Piku an indie movie.
Yeah.
But the content was, by your own definition, fairly indie, or it's really not a hard and fast storyline. There's no beginning, middle, and end to it.
Yeah.
There's not like a serious plot around it. It's really, you know, about two people and their lives, but the difference is probably the star power in Piku, and it was backed by a pretty famous director as well.
Yeah.
Anu Menon is pretty famous as well. So I don't see the, I didn't see the difference in the content between these two movies. I thought it was a very similar tone.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wonder. I still think a smaller audience would go for this versus going.
It was also
probably around the marketing of it as well.
The marketing promotions plays a big part, and the star power, of course, also plays a big part.
Yeah.
And it's also, I mean, without trying to sound elitist, just this. I mean, this was a movie which was 95% in English.
Yes.
Which automatically rules out a large percentage of the mass population. So
I think that
that is a bit more specific to this case. I think your overall point around what is or isn't an indie movie, it's a very gray line. I take your point.
I don't know.
It's an open question.
I feel like
if you guys have any thoughts, please do share them with us. We'd be happy to hear what other people think. But I guess maybe indie movie is the wrong term. This was a... I don't know. It was a festival movie.
Maybe if it releases in a festival, then it's probably... I think the definition would be just as bare as that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a festival movie.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's a whole different debate to have.
Yeah, because I think in the old-fashioned sense of the definition, I think the biggest filter would be content.
Yeah.
But I do think that there's a much bigger market for great content now.
No, definitely. So. And I think... It's also like the Indian market is much less evolved in terms of there is still a very clear gap between what is mass market and what isn't.
Yes.
And that is mostly defined by star power, to be quite honest.
Precisely.
And so, whereas if this movie, like, if this was a Hollywood movie, it would have, like, just been like any other movie, pretty much, you know. Of course, Hollywood also has its blockbusters and it's, you know, franchise movies, but I think the gap is much less pronounced in terms of people's perceptions, at least.
Yeah, I think this is true. But anyway, if it's only good news if this line is blurring. I think so. I hope it continues to blur that way because, this was a super relatable movie. Anybody could relate to it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here.
No worries.
We shall hope to have you back very soon.
Yeah, I've had a very interesting graph. My career graph on your podcast has been really interesting because I started with Prem Ratan, which is the ultimate mass market movie, and now we've moved on to a very...
We discussed this the last time, right? Like, once you've proved yourself with the mass market, you can come in for the...
I think these are the milestones, though, right? You start with a really shitty movie, then you move to a movie that's a big commercial success, and then the last stage is...
I wouldn't speak too soon. Dishoom is coming out in 2 weeks. Yeah. I think you might be back for that.
If I'm back for Great Grand Musti, I can consider myself devoted.
No, Great Grand Musti is a whole different term. It's a whole different genre, even off the podcast. So that, look out for that next week, by the way, guys. But yes, thank you. And thank you all for listening and see you all next week. Thanks so much for listening. That was our show and hope you enjoyed it. You know what I'm about to say next, but I'm going to say it anyway. Please subscribe to Bollywood Weekly on iTunes using the podcast app or on SoundCloud, either on the web or using the app available on iOS and on Android. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The links are in the description. And please do spread the word and let us know what you think in the comments if there's anything you want to see us doing differently or anything you want to see more of. We will be happy to take all your feedback. And if you want to just share your views about what you think about these movies, we will be happy to feature those as well. See you next week.